If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for supplying the place for us to meet in, to open the doors here for us, to study your word, and we pray for the business that meets here. You meet their needs, and Father, we pray for those requests that were spoken of. You know the situation, you know the needs, and we ask you to be with these people, to comfort these people, and let them look to thee for guidance and understanding in their lives. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your Spirit and build us up in the faith that we may be a better witness for thee. And Father, we ask you this morning, most of all, give honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As you might know, this is a Bible study class. And we study the Bible the way the Apostle Paul told us, compare spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what our aim is. And by comparing the Bible to itself, we can get understanding of what God's doing in this dispensation that we live in. That we don't have to wonder, am I in this dispensation? Is my instructions in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Or is my instructions in the Old Testament, in Genesis to Malachi? Or are my instructions in the book of Acts? Or are my instructions in Romans to Philemon? Or are they in the book of Hebrews through Revelation? And you'll notice I'm going to draw a line between Romans and Philemon because this time in here is called a mystery. In other words, this time in here, those who first trusted in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, there you can find their some of their things written down. I'll put it that way, some of them written down in the Old Testament scriptures. But those of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, Paul said these are unsearchable. In other words, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9 and gave him a dispensation called the dispensation of the gospel. This gospel has to do with Jesus Christ dying at Calvary and paying for all of our sins. All of our sins are paid for. God does not see my sin. God sees me as a saved individual, you understand. Sees me in Christ. He doesn't see me in my flesh. He sees me in Christ. Now, there are some differences. When Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he trained 12 apostles to carry on the ministry. After he knew that he was going to be crucified, he would be buried and he would stay in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and he would be resurrected. He did so, and he spent 40 days with the 12 apostles. Then he ascended up, back to where God the Father is. He sent that message down to Paul. In Acts 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple and gave him a further revelation. When the church, the body of Christ, is full, the rapture will take place. The Antichrist can be revealed. God will deal with Israel in the tribulation. It's a time of Jacob's troubles, talked about in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. But Jeremiah is talking about Israel. He calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name is changed to Israel in Genesis 35. You'll find that. So this is a time of Jacob's trouble. After the 7-year tribulation, then you have the second coming. We are not looking for the second coming. I'm looking for the rapture. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. The church, the body of Christ, will go out. Then God can deal with Israel in this time of their trouble over here. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, the King James Bible. Now, when I say the Bible, I'm talking about the 1611 King James Bible. The Bible tells us in verse 27 that there is 1 week A week is a week of sevens. There's 1 week for Israel to get ready for the Lord to come back. One more week. You got time up to the crucifixion. No time in here prophesied back here. It's mystery. Not back there. You can't find it. You can find this time back here in Old Testament prophecy. It's prophesied several places back here. In this time here, Israel is Lo Amnah, not God's people. Now, with all of that in mind, go to Matthew chapter 28. Start with me in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain. And by the way, this is after Jesus Christ has been crucified and buried and resurrected. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Two different places.
Right.
In heaven and in earth. Don't forget them. Go ye therefore, when Jesus Christ has assumed all power in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Now pay attention to the terminology. Teach who? All nations. Now listen, here several weeks ago we went through Israel's time. We studied that the nations over here that blessed the seed of Abraham, that's who the thousand-year millennial reign is prepared for. The thousand-year millennial reign is not prepared for anybody in this room or in this world today. Well, I may rephrase that in this world. There may be some nations that's fixing to go into the tribulation because I believe the rapture is getting pretty close. By what's going on. Not by no signs or wonders. We walk by faith, not by sight. But, so when the church body of Christ has gone out, then God can deal with Israel over here. So, Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, he says, I have received all power in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Look at it. Verse 19. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. What are they going to teach them? Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. When you say amen, you're verifying the fact you believe that God meant what he said right there. So if you don't believe what God said right there, don't say amen. You're going to be accountable for it someday. You're going to have to answer for these words. Now listen, this thing's very simple. Now, before we go too far with this, I want you to hold Matthew 28, and I want you to go to Mark 16. Now listen, Mark 16 and Matthew 28 are not the same gospel. I'm going to show you why I'm saying that. Jesus Christ said, I've received all power in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now, that's not the same as Mark. Go to Mark chapter 16. You see, I know there ain't a Baptist church in the world that does not somewhere in their letterhead or in their building or in their teaching that does not use the term, go ye therefore. Anybody ever been in a Baptist church? Have you ever seen that in a Baptist church?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ye therefore. You know where they get it? Matthew 28. I'm going to prove to you that you can't do it if you believe your Bible. Now, in Matthew 28, hold it, and now we're in Mark chapter 16. And this is after Jesus Christ has been crucified. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. This is the 11 apostles. You understand? The 11 apostles. Judas Iscariot has went and hung himself, and he hasn't been replaced yet, and he won't be replaced until Acts chapter 1. Now, verse 15, and he said unto them, the 11 apostles, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to all nations. No. What do you say? Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, watch what takes place. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Did he say that?
Yes.
He did. All right. Verse 17. Y'all believe all that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hang in there with me now. Verse 17 is going to get a little serious. And these signs shall follow them apostles.
No.
Follow who?
Them.
Those that believe. Those that believe and do what? Get baptized. Anybody in there ever been baptized? In what? He's talking about in water. Now, just remember if any of these signs followed you when you got baptized, because they didn't follow me. I've lost out somehow or another. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Well, there's people, they claim they can do that. But have you ever seen a devil come out of anybody? Do y'all know when Jesus Christ cast out some devils in Mark chapter 5? That the devil said, don't send us out here empty. He said, there's a herd of swine over yonder. Let us go in that herd of swine. And there was about 2,000 hogs over yonder feeding. And you know what them hogs did? They run and run off the cliff and drowned him. Died. So I didn't. Did y'all see that?
No.
You didn't? You didn't see that in your mind's eye, a bunch of hogs out there feeding, and Jesus Christ cast out some demons. He called them demons, they're devils, and they went into them swine and they run vehemently down the steep hill and down and they died. I saw it in my mind's eye. But I believe it because God said it. You understand? I don't have to see it physically. I believe it because God said it. Now watch what he says. They shall speak with new tongues. Well, a lot of people fake that too, don't they? They go to language schools and learn how to talk in tongues. They shall take up serpents. I don't challenge you to do that. Any of y'all ever run up on a rattlesnake in the woods? I have. And you know what I do? I try to avoid him. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, I don't challenge you to do that. But I believe this happened because of the verse that we're fixing to read. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Anybody in here believe you've got the power to lay hands on me to heal me? Come on up here. I need it right now. I've been plagued for the last week or two with this mess that's going around. And I think I'm getting over it. And then all of a sudden, here she comes back again. Or it, whatever it is. Now, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they, who is the they? The apostles. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Did he confirm Mark 16 with signs and wonders that followed? Did the Lord confirm his word with signs following? Did he?
Yeah.
Said he did, didn't he? We're Mark 16 and we're holding Matthew 28. We're comparing the two. Did he confirm the word in Mark 28? Did he confirm the word in Mark 28? No, he did not. Hold Mark 16. Flip back to Mark 28. Excuse me, Matthew. Matthew 28. If you can find 28 chapters in Mark 16, you got a bad Bible. Matthew 28, we're comparing Matthew 28 with Mark 16. Now, in Matthew 28, he told them, I received all power in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Now, it does not tell us anything in Matthew 6, 28, verse 16 through 20, where he confirmed that word. Anybody, can you see it in there in your Bible?
No.
You know why? Do you know why he could not confirm his word in Matthew 28?
Because he don't have all power.
He ain't received all power in heaven and earth yet, beloved. So the Baptist or whoever, Methodist, Catholic, or whatever they are, if they try to take marching orders out of Matthew 28, 16 through 20, they are wrong and they cannot do it. We're not to go to all nations yet. You know who we're to go to? Who are we to go to today? I got a verse in my mind. You ought to have it in your mind. Especially if you're a preacher or a teacher. You know where it's at?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and read it to me. 1 Timothy chapter 2, hold Mark and Matthew. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God would have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Would God have all men to be saved today?
Yes.
It don't matter what nation you're in. It doesn't matter. You know why? The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation today. Not the gospel of the kingdom that was for Israel. That's future. Matthew 28, I'm going to prove to you, is future. Now, back to Mark 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Can I hear, like the Pentecostal preacher, can I hear an amen for the Lord?
Amen.
Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
How can you prove that he confirmed his word with signs following? Tell you what, hold what you got here. Well, you can drop Mark. Go to Acts chapter 6. Excuse me. Apologize. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Verse 12. Now, Peter's doing the preaching in the context here. You go back and read it. Peter is in the forefront here in this chapter right here. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid their hands on them and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by, might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, some of them.
Every
one of them. God confirmed Mark 16 with signs following. And if you can't lay hands on the sick, you cannot abide by the doctrine in Mark 16. Now, back to Matthew 28. Verse 18. Go ye therefore. Excuse me, I apologize. Verse 18. I'm reading verse 19. I'm ahead of myself. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven. Right, I'm going to stop right there and just see about heaven. Take two passages. Take Ephesians chapter 6. And it'll be 2 Corinthians chapter. I'll get it in a minute. Go to Ephesians 6 to start with. Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, let me ask you a question. Who is the God of this world today?
Satan.
You know what Satan is? He's an evil spirit. The God of this world, and I don't want to use that, his name is spelt like this, with a little g. With a little g. Not no capital. Don't put no capital on the God of this world, because when you put a capital letter on a name like that, it signifies authority and stuff like this. This dude here, he's in charge of the world today. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. Why you know that Jesus Christ has not assumed all power in heaven and earth. There's two different places there, heaven and earth. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, now, this is Paul writing to us, the church, the body of Christ. And you remember, Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You want to understand your Bible? Consider what the Apostle Paul says. And while you're considering what Paul said in Romans to Philemon, you got to also consider what he don't say. You understand? Follow me? Yeah. All right. Matthew, excuse me, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, hold the fort. Is the devil still got a bunch of junk going on?
Yes.
All right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, is heaven high?
Yes.
I would say it's kind of high, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, is Satan still operating in heaven?
Yes.
Well, Matthew 28 says, I've received all power in heaven. Has he?
Yes.
He has not received all power yet, beloved. And in earth. I know he ain't got power in earth today. He's gone from the earth. He's above the earth. He's above all heavens. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Go with me to, I get my mind slowed down here just a minute so I can think a little bit. Go with me to Timothy, the book of Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Paul's giving instruction to the preacher man, Timothy. And we'll start in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Reason, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You see that? Is the devil still operating today?
Yes.
Well, certainly is. Who are taken captive by him at his will. Beloved, if you don't stand and put on the armor of God, Satan can capture you at his will. Not your will, at his will. And if you refuse to study, and you ain't going to get it in 1 hour a week in this class. You're going to have to do some home study. You know, back when you went to school, they sent homework home. It was for a reason. I thought it was foolishness. I wish that when I was a young'un, I would have paid better attention and not wait till I get so old that I can't remember what I read yesterday. Y'all don't have that problem, do you? You know, years ago I took a test on television. But while I'm talking, turn to Ephesians 2. I took a test on television. And they said that the way you can find out if you're in the early stages of Alzheimer's disease, take this test. Well, I said, well, you know, I'll take this test. They said, read a little short story, and then about an hour later, try to remember what you read. Well, I said, well, I can't even read 5 minutes ago, and I was born with Alzheimer's. I've never been able to remember. I'm like a preacher friend of mine. I was talking to him one time about our memory of forgetting things. He said, you know, I can remember the things I don't want to, and the things I can't remember, I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, I got things in my past that I'd like to forget, but there's that old devil there, and he's just bringing it up all the time. But what did I tell you all to go? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, those that are saved, and you, hath he quickened. In other words, hath is past tense, quickened means made alive. Those that are saved, those that have trusted that Jesus Christ died for their sins at Calvary. I ain't talking about those that walked the aisle. I ain't talking about those that joined the church. I'm not talking about those that give their tithes. I'm talking about those that believe when Christ died at Calvary, he died for me. And whenever I know y'all get bored at me of telling you this, but every time I think about him dying for me, I can see a white hard hat at Scott Paper Company with a man on a bicycle going from one job to another, an electrician, and he had a white hat on it that had knobs on it, around like this here, and on them knobs and in between it, he had wrote in black indelible ink, "It was for me he died." That man believed that Christ died for him. When did you ever do that in your life? When in your life did you ever believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin? Can you know a time? Got any idea when it happened to you? I ain't talking about when you changed or turned over a new leaf or you rededicated or you rejoined or you stopped this or stopped that. I'm talking about in your life, can you remember a time when you just said, God, I just can't handle it. I'm just going to have to trust you and you alone. And if I go to hell, I'm going to be down there with you. Y'all do know that the Bible says if you went to hell, God's down there. You do know that, don't you? Say, if you go up to heaven, I'm there. No matter where you go, God's there. And if you wind up in hell, you're going to remember You have a choice. That one day, God had a fellow preach the gospel to you, and you heard that Christ had died for your sins. And in that condition, you examined yourself, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. You know what a reprobate is, don't you? It's junk. You know where junk goes, don't you? In the junk pile, the trash pile. When in your life did you ever see yourself as a lost, doomed, damned sinner fixing to bust hell wide open, and in that condition trusted Christ as your Savior? If you did, you know it. If you haven't, you know that also. And you can't play games with God. You might play games with the preacher or your friends or your family or your neighbors or your loved ones, but you can't play games with God. God tries the heart. He knows what's in the mind before you ever speak it. He knows what's coming off your tongue. You can't fool God. Now, back to this thing here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, those that are saved, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. When did he quicken you? When you repented of your sins? No, he didn't tell you that. He said God quickened you in Christ when you were yet dead in your sins. I was quickened in A.D. 33 before I was ever born. I am 33 years old right now. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Jesus Christ died as a 33-year-old man. I died in Christ. When I resurrected with him, I was 33 years old because I'm a member of his flesh and his bones. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. So I'm 33 years old, although I'm a little bit older than that in the flesh. But in Christ, I'm 33. Me and my daughter was talking about this the other day. I was talking about her getting old. And she said, well, me and you the same age. And we are in Christ. We're both 33 years old in Christ. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are 33 years old in Christ. I believe that. The Bible says it. Now, he doesn't say that you're all going to be 33, but he says we are members of his flesh and of his bone. And when he was resurrected a new creation. I was created in him. I wasn't born again. I was created. That born again term belongs back here to God's people back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, watch what verse 2 says here. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Is there an evil spirit in the world today?
Amen.
Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Satan don't want you saved. Satan wants to pull the wool over your eyes, and he's been doing it ever since he was in the Garden of Eden back here with Eve. You know what he told Eve? He said, oh, God knows you're not going to die. He said he knows in the day you eat them, you shall be as gods. And there are many gods according to what Paul told the Corinthians. There are many gods in the world today, but there ain't but one God, creator of heaven and earth. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, and you'll notice that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, are there doctrines of devils going around today? You know where they're at? They're in the pulpit. You don't believe me? turn your television on and watch some of the television preachers and watch what they're preaching to you.
Everything.
Prosperity. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be healthy and wealthy and wise. No, God wants you to be saved. You know why? Because you live in a vile body. In Philippians chapter 3, God says He's going to change our vile body that will be fashioned like unto His what? His glorious body, 33 years old. Can't beat it. We live in the best dispensation that God ever had. Now, I believe, well, I'll tell you what, Duke, one more passage over here about the heaven. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. My mind sometimes just, sir? Sometimes my mind just don't function right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you that by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who am present and base among you, not Christ, but Paul, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that company, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You understand? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, as we just read back in Ephesians 2:2, the children that now worketh in the children of in the spirit of disobedience is called the prince of the power of the air. Go to John chapter 14. I've got to hurry. John chapter 14. Let me show you who this prince is. Well, the power of the air. I'm going to start reading in I don't know if I need to read all of that or not. Come to verse He's talking about promising them the Holy Spirit and different things about them keeping the commandments and all that. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And it's not talking to the church, the body of Christ. He's talking to Israel here now. And the apostles, mainly at this time, mostly just the apostles are involved in this. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. He's talking about the second coming over here. Not the rapture. Second coming. You won't find a rapture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find the second coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When he talks about coming again, it's at the second coming over here. Now, verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, now watch what he says. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. That's Satan, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Well, that's Satan. You can't miss it. Now, I believe we have established that Jesus Christ has not got all power in heaven. Okay? Let's see about on earth. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I believe that's where I want to go. Give me a minute. Now, that ain't where I want to go. Let's do it in Matthew chapter 4. We'll go to Matthew chapter 4. We'll go back to Luke in just a second. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil, Jesus Christ is in the wilderness. Go to verse 1. Then was Jesus led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter, that's the devil, came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he asked and said, It is written, you'll find this in Deuteronomy 8, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh them up to a holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. It is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. You'll find that in Psalms 91. And in their hand shall they bear thee up, at least at any time they dash a foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh them into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And him shalt thou serve. You find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And you'll find the same thing about what you've read there in Matthew 4, but there's a little bit difference in this chapter here. Now we'll start, we're not going to read all that, live by bread alone and all that. We've already read that. Verse 6. And the devil saith to him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Wow. Does Satan have all power?
Yes,
yes he has. He's a prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul said, If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and be saved. Satan don't want you to see it. You know what he's doing? He's perverting the gospel of Christ. He's putting all these commandments in them, water baptisms, walk in the aisle, repenting of your sins. Stop this. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say this. Don't eat that. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Now watch what he says here. Verse 6, The devil saith him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only. Now go to Revelation. Go to Revelation. My time's about up. Let's go on over to Revelation. Go to start off. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. And I want to show you somebody here. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, there are seven churches. There's one church here, which is his body. There's seven churches in Revelation. There are seven angels. There are no angels in here. We don't have no guardian angels. They'll just hang that up. If you know, I see these cars in these wrecking yards. It's got these little golden plastic or metal or whatever they made out of, idols on the dashboard. They're guardian angels, and that car just crumpled and twisted all up. Several people got killed in it. What was the matter with that guardian angel? Was he asleep that day? Come on. People live in a fantasy world. God ain't dealing with fantasy today. He's dealing in truth. No angels today. Paul told you about that in Colossians chapter 2. Let no man judge you in meat or drink or respect the holy day or new moons or worshiping of angels. But who believes the book? I think very few people care to believe it anymore. Revelation chapter 12. verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angel. You know who Michael is? He's the archangel. He's God's angel. And I suspect if you started back here, you'd find him back here from day one. God's angel. Abraham came back from the slaughter of the kings in Genesis 14, and there was an angel standing there with a sword. You know what Abraham was worried about? Are you on my side or their side? God's archangel. Exodus 23, God told Moses, said, I'll send my angel before you. Beware of him. My name is in him. He will not pardon your transgression. In other words, you get out of line, it's Katie bar the door. Mm-hmm. Balaam, sitting on an ass, trying to go to Balak to curse the seed of Abraham. Angel of the Lord standing in the way with a sword. Three times this happened. You'll find it in Numbers 23. Three times this jackass tried to get out of the way. His master leading him right down the path, type of Satan, leading him down the path. The path gets narrow and narrow. After a while, he's in a place he can't go nowhere but straight ahead. And that angel, that donkey, that jackass fell down, and God started speaking through that jackass with men's words. Mm-hmm. Talk about Francis the talking mule. That jackass said, Master, ain't I been faithful to you all these years, and here you are beating me? And then about that time, God opened the man's eyes, and he saw the angel standing there with the sword, and the angel told him, said, if that donkey hadn't have done what he did, I'd have cut your head off. You know why? He was disobeying God. God told him, don't go unless they come get you. But you know what he did? He saw all that loot and all that pretty stuff that he was going to get rewarded from, and he wanted it so bad he took off after it. And God was fixing to cut his head off if it hadn't have been for that dumb jackass. When have you ever seen that Christ die for you? Is that your condition this morning? Is God ready to cast you into hell this morning? If you died right now, you'd wind up in hell if you're not saved. And there ain't no way out of it. You can forget that purgatory stuff. Do you know what the 1828 English dictionary says about purgatory? It's a supposed place by the Catholic religion. If you don't believe me, get you one. Or Noah Webster, 1828 English dictionary. And you can't find that in a 611 King James Bible nowhere. You can find the rich man in Luke 16 when he died, he went down to hell. Lazarus was carried by the angels. Now, the angels ain't coming after you. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom down yonder under your feet. He's down there right now. I can see him down there in Abraham's bosom, and he is asleep. I'm looking at that little old baby back there. That little old baby she don't know if she's in the world. Right. That rich man's the same way. He don't know where he's at enough. He is totally at rest waiting on resurrection. You understand? He's asleep in Abraham's bosom. The rich man is a Jew. You know how I know that? He calls Abraham father. Father Abraham. Now, back to Revelation 12. There was war, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Where is this war at? Well, I thought Jesus Christ said, I've got all power in heaven and earth. Well, beloved, this battle here ain't took place yet. So the devil still got all them demoniac devils up there. If you don't believe me, go back and read the book of Daniel. And Michael said, hey, it took me 21 days to get down here. Said the first day you prayed, your prayer come to the throne room up yonder. But I've been fighting with them devils up yonder in the heavenly places, and it took me 21 days to get down here. Do you got any idea why God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, has got to come get me and you if you're saved? You've got to get us through all that crap up yonder. Them devils. Here's the answer. In the tribulation over here. That was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. But Michael's going to throw them out. Neither was there place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent. There ain't no snake, beloved. This was a man. There wasn't no snake back there in the Garden of Eden hisping. There was a two-legged man back there. Beautiful character. If you study Ezekiel 28, you'll find out how beautiful this fellow was. Verse 9, and that old dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Who's deceiving the world today? Satan is. I mean, you can't beat that. So whose side you on? You're either saved or you're lost. And if you're lost, you still got the spirit of Satan in you. Why won't you trust Christ as your Savior? I bet you I'm talking to somebody in here right now that you've been struggling with your salvation and you're just ashamed to give up and just say, well, Lord, I'm about to watch what I say, and I think this will be in the court. I just can't have it. I'm just going to have to just turn my case over to you, and if I die and go to hell, it'll be your fault. Because I'm going to trust what Jesus Christ did for me at Calvary. You ain't got to pray no sinner's prayer. I don't know what a sinner's prayer would be anyway, do you? I got no idea. God's told the world through Acts 16, verse 31, the jailer come to Paul and he said, what must I do to be saved? And you know what he told him? Nothing. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. It was household salvation then, at that day. Not so now. Your mom and daddy may be lost. Your kids may be lost. Those that know the truth, that's rejected it. Do you want to go to hell just because they are? You know, you hear these people say, well, this religion is good enough for my mom and dad, it's good enough for me. Well, if they're in hell, is that where you want to go? Is that where you want to spend eternity? It's your choice. I mean, God ain't going to make you get saved. He ain't going to wake you up in the middle of the night and say, hey, time for you to get saved. You're fixing to die next week. You're not going to be like hell's a cow. God told Isaiah, go tell old Hezekiah, said, you get yourself in order now, get your house in order, because you're fixing to die. Old Hezekiah, he went over there against the wall, got to crying, carrying on, said, God, you know I've been following you all my life, and I've done this good stuff here and all this stuff here. And you know what he did? God told Isaiah, said, go tell him I'm going to add 15 years to you. He probably wished he'd never added them 15 years. They wasn't too good if you go back and study about Hezekiah. Now, in this context here, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out of where? Out of heaven. And that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. When did he say, now is come salvation? After the war in heaven. After Michael fights with the devil and his angels and casts them out. And you know what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Satan knows he has but a short time. Just got a little time left. You know what he's going to do? He's deceiving people. Now, for time's sake, come over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. You know what fascinates me about this, especially this thousand-year millennial reign over here? You see this, they've already, we've gone. And these people over here involved in the tribulation, they see this war in heaven. They know that Michael has kicked the devil out of heaven up yonder. He's on this earth down here. Then the Lord comes down and destroys him with the brightness of his coming. Satan is bound in the bottomless pit. There's a bottomless pit somewhere down here. And there's a chain put on him. And old Satan's in there and he can't get out for 1,000 years. But you know what fascinates me about that? God, Jesus Christ is ruling with a rod of iron here, because there's some nations that go into this 1,000 years that the kingdom is prepared for, and they're Gentile nations that bless the seed of Abraham in the tribulation. Not Haggis bunch today that's trying to bless. I get so tired of some of this money grabbing buzzards. That's all you can call them. They tell you that if you send me so much money, I'll help get a Jew home and all this. Listen, if God can't get them home, let them stay where they are.
All right.
But when that 1,000 years is over with, you know what happens? Satan is loosed out of his prison. You know what he does? He goes right back to his old ways, deceiving people. Deceiving. And I just can't fathom that. They've lived 1,000 years in perfect harmony. No murder, no stealing, no nothing wrong. Everything perfect. No sickness. And yet, when they get out, a bunch of them, you know what they are? A bunch of lost believers in there. They wasn't really believing. Got a bunch of lost believers in this dispensation right now. They believe the fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, but they ain't never trusted that for their salvation. They're lost believers. Millions of them. Millions of them. Now, Revelation 20, verse 1. I got about a minute and a half. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, the great chain in his hand, and laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Is that going to take place someday?
Yes.
Well, it ain't done it yet. No. So when the seventh angel, after the seventh angel has sounded out the plagues on this world, then the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Go to chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 10, and I heard the loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength. This is after the seventh angel has poured out his wrath on the earth. The seven angels have got to pour out their vials on this earth. And the whole, and by the way, the whole earth's going to be involved in that too. And I heard the loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, I got to
see you enjoying
it. Revelation 12. Did I tell you? I apologize. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, where we was at there a while ago. Verse 10. I apologize. Revelation 12, 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Well, he ain't cast down until Michael has that war with him up there, you understand? So that ain't happened yet. Now, verse for time's sake, verse 11. And they, those of his brethren, and they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Those people that go over here got to die to get into the kingdom. Me and you don't have to die. Jesus Christ died for us. Appreciate you being here this morning. You've been most patient and kind. Appreciate you being here. Anybody got a question? Appreciate you being here.